In this episode of We're the Dudes, things might get a little bit hairy. We've got a review of Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. There may be some very small and moderate spoilers ahead, so proceed with caution. We're also going to talk about the rest of the Planet of the Apes anthology. We're the Dudes.
Dudes.
What's up, Jay Money? How you doing?
Nah, pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm tired, man. It's 11 in the morning, and I'm just waking up because I'm a piece of shit. But I enjoyed this movie. This movie was good.
It was very good.
So are you a Planet of the Apes fan in general? I've been watching these things for years.
Yeah. I've always liked them. The original, you know, was good. It was kind of like real campy, fun kind of stuff. And then, like, they did another one. Like, they did a couple, like, sequels to that, and then they did a remake in 2001 with Tim Burton, and I had a lot of high hopes for that, and that ended up sucking really bad.
Was that the one with Marky Mark?
Yeah.
God, that was awful.
Yeah, they couldn't decide on, like, if they wanted to be campy or modern, whatever. It just wasn't very good.
I had the thought when I was watching this movie, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, about the Mark Wahlberg version, and I was like, how do you make a bad Planet of the Apes movie? Because you've got literally any storyline you want, beginning with the world is inhabited by apes. You can be as creative as you'd like, but yet they decided to basically recreate the original Charlton Heston version, but poorly. So I just hated it.
They could have done the original and just remade it and, you know, made it fun and campy. They tried to be, like, serious with it, but also campy with it, and it just didn't work.
Yeah,
I don't think Tim Burton was the right choice for that. So I like Tim Burton, but that wasn't for him.
So let's talk a little bit about this movie. 2 hours, 25 minutes long. So it was a little bit on the longer side, but it felt to me a lot shorter than that. I didn't feel like there was much fat on this movie at all. Critics like it. Audience likes it. Give me your thoughts, dude, on how you felt about it.
Yeah, so I went into it. I knew there was, like, some... The critic scores, I felt, were a little lower than the previous movies. Like, I kind of compared them, right? So Rise, Dawn, and War, they all had higher tomato scores. They had higher Metacritic scores. So I was like, well, I had lowered my expectations. I was like, okay, maybe this won't be as good. But going into it, like, starting to watch it, it had a very, like, Avatar type of feel. Wide open world. They didn't really continue the story of Caesar. They kind of used him as a beacon, and then made their own world and their own story. And I thought that was really effective. I kind of wish they had not skipped so much time, because it was generations later, right? It's a long time.
How long do apes live in general?
I think it depends on the ape, but some of them can live quite a while. Yeah.
So what do you think? It's been like 100 years, maybe?
I mean, generations, so whatever that means. It was very much, like, wide open, so you could kind of use your imagination.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. So, it's you know, I felt like there was a lot they could have filled. So in the previous movie, I guess, is it – I can spoil that one. Like the
Yeah, yes. War for the Planet of the Apes, we can go ahead and assume people have seen that if they're watching this one.
All right, and before I do that, I just Google the ape lifespan. So chimpanzees, 39 years, not that long. Bonobos, 40 years, and then orangutans like Maurice, 45 years. So they don't live a long time. Now, as far as like the movie itself, there, you know, in Kingdom, or I'm sorry, in War, we, you know, Caesar dies. It's like the story arc for Caesar ends.
Yeah.
For me, there could have been a giant opportunity to show what kind of hole of, like, power struggle there was.
So hang on a second. Hang on. So once you started messing with your computer there, I started getting a little bit of static. So we're getting a little bit of something with your, I don't know if it's a connection or if you messed with something, but we're getting a little bit. So I'm just going to drive for a second and let you figure that out.
Is it better now?
No, same thing. No? Same thing.
What the shit? I didn't really do with anything. I just, like, Googled.
I don't know. It sounds like it just a connection that's not perfect. So
okay.
There we go. Maybe if you back up just a little bit. All right. Anyway, we'll move on. But yeah, I thought this was probably either my favorite of the Apes movies, or, like, maybe my second favorite behind War for the Planet of the Apes. I thought that one was great. I actually really liked Rise for the Planet of the Apes. I saw it 3 times in theaters. I showed it to my brothers, and I took them to go see it, and they hated it. And I was like, what the hell is wrong with you guys? This is amazing. And so I enjoyed that it felt kind of like a standalone movie, and part of that is probably because it takes place so many generations after the others. I can't wait to watch it on my Vision Pro because the visuals were stunning. Like, the picture was amazing. The scope, you really got a scope of like how big this kingdom is. All the, you know, overgrown foliage and the huge forest. It just felt like an ape kingdom. It was amazing. I thought the villain was great, and a very mild spoiler. He also goes by the name Caesar. So I don't know if that's something that they're like passing down, but I thought that was a really cool, you know, kind of like Pope John, whatever, the 27th or whatever it is now. I don't know if they're like passing that down, and that kind of felt like a religious overtone to me. And it tied in with another thing, which is that the villain kind of twisted Caesar's original message of like apes together strong to be like apes together strong. You know what I mean? Like, it's, basically, you know what I mean? Like, he twisted, it was the same words, but they twisted them. It's sort of kind of like how some religions, like, they start off peaceful and then they become like, you know, they want to take over countries and they bomb people or whatever. Like, there was something of that. Even the one ape, the orangutan from the previous one that had the, it was like a pendant of his window shape, right? It was like cross-shaped, but it's like, you know, the outline of it.
So I think there's two things going on here. So you have, is my sound better now?
It's still shitty, but we can get through with it.
What?
It's just a shitty connection. It's something.
No. Want me to hang up and come back?
Go ahead. I'll take over for a second. A few more things. So one of my favorite scenes was when the apes, and this is my mild spoiler, rejoins here.
That better?
Yes, that's better. That's better.
All right.
So I was just telling the audience that one of my favorite scenes was when the apes are in this like underground lair where the government has stored a bunch of stuff, and they find these children's books just to teach kids how to read. Like, A is for apple, Z is for zebra or whatever. And they had just seen some zebras. They didn't know what they were, like out in the wild or whatever. But just these stupid little dollar store kids books, and the apes act like they've just found the most important documents in the universe, because to them it's like their Rosetta Stone. They're kind of hiding it from the human. I just thought that was an unbelievably cool scene.
Yeah, and it's a callback to the original 1964 Planet of the Apes, when they go to the Forbidden Zone and the apes don't want to go there because the elders don't want anyone going there because they know that there's stuff there that's going to blow up their entire society, because it tells the story of humans, basically. It's an archaeological site. So when they go to the Forbidden Zone in the original, they find the doll that talks, which you also see in this movie. They also find, you know, other things that kind of suggest that humans were at one time the dominant species. And it's very cyclical, all these things, because with the original, it's the humans that were in charge first, and then the apes are now in charge. And they're very much evolved at this point. They're wearing clothes and stuff. They're smoking pipes. It's weird.
Yeah.
But in these movies, what I like is more grounded. It's not so much just weird, like wearing clothes. They stay very much apes. They're very much staying in their tribes. They're very much trying to be themselves instead of trying to be humans that are like actually apes. So, yeah. But they are adopting some of the societal things that we see. And you kind of referenced it with religion. So there's two things going on in these movies. One, the Caesar line. It's a callback to the Caesar emperors, right? Caligula, mm-hmm. Julius Caesar, Augustus Caesar, right? So they are calling themselves Caesar for two reasons. One, it's like the line of emperors, but also it is a religious overtone. And if you saw in War, Caesar the ape has very much a Jesus arc. He's actually all the way on, like hung up on like almost a cross type of thing, right? He's being whipped. He's being tortured. They're trying to break him, and he never breaks. And he is an inspiration to all the apes in the camp. So it's Caesar is basically the Jesus of this time. And like Jesus, some people take his words and they do good things with it. And some people take his words and do bad things with it. And the villain here is taking the words and twisting them for his own machinations to be the ruler of all, right? Have a kingdom. He's you know, is abusing other apes. He's taking on their tribes. He's killing their leaders and their elders. It's very much an emperor type of scenario here.
Yeah, the one character that I connected with was the Emperor's assistant, or whatever it is, William H. Macy. I guess what do you call
Trevathan? Yeah,
Trevathan. What would you say he was, like a servant or whatever? Is because he was just kind of living the high life, kind of like, you know, hey, don't kill me. I just want to chill up here in the penthouse. You know, I just want to keep chilling. You want me to read you Shakespeare, Voltaire? I'll read you Shakespeare and Voltaire. Just don't rip my face off. Don't tear my goddamn face off. That's who I connected with. That's what I would have been.
So it's interesting. You know, like a lot of actors get typecast.
Yeah.
William H. Macy is almost always typecast as a weasel. And that is the Trevathan character. He's a weasel. He's betraying his human race, right? He's accepting the future. And in a way, you understand it. You're like, okay, yeah, he's right. This is the new way it is. And I think the problem with a lot of the humans that remain is they think it's going to go back the way it was. Like, they long for how it was. It's not going to happen because they keep screwing it up. Like, and to me, it's hilarious how this happens. Like, they're the ones who broke everything by creating this virus in the previous movies to try to cure Alzheimer's and really to make money. It was all about money making, and that's why they rushed it to market. And then this virus basically wipes them all out, makes them dumber. Makes the apes smarter. And why are they're mad at the apes? Like, what are the apes supposed to do, right? Hey, we're smarter than you now. We're going to live our own. And most of them are just trying to live their own lives and just hang out in the woods and swing from the trees and have fun, right? And the humans are like, no. We need to go back the way it was. We're the superiors. And they still haven't gotten over it. It's been generations, and they still haven't gotten over it. And I don't know how you maintain that type of resentment over generations. Yeah. Because at some point you forget. You're like, oh, what happened?
Yeah. Like, I'm not pissed off about stuff that happened to my ancestors. But, I mean, when you're looking through that book, like, I honestly really empathized with the apes because they're seeing these, like, gorillas and apes and mm-hmm. chimpanzees that are, like, locked up in cages in the children's books. And it's like, hey, we were kind of these, you know, animals that, you know, had these shitty lives at one point. And you feel bad for them. It's just such a damn good movie. I enjoyed Freya Allen, who plays Nova/May. I looked it up because I wanted to make a point about how I hate child actors, but she was great. But then I realized she was 23 years old, so she was actually probably like 20 when they were filming this. She looked young to me. I mean, but yeah, not a child actor, but terrific, terrific performance. I mean, I thought all of the ape characters, like the voices, were just really well done. The facial expressions, it's amazing. Like, when I got home, I went back and I watched about 15 minutes of the original Planet of the Apes from 1968. And just the level of progression in, I mean, those were clearly human beings in ape suits, right? Yes, but if you had dropped this movie, like take this movie, send it back in a time machine to 1968, and someone finds it and figures out how to play it, they would think that it, like, was actually filmed using apes that could speak. It would be the biggest story in the world. Like, that's how good it looks. That's amazing.
Yeah. There would be a very War of the Worlds type of thing to it, right?
Yeah.
Like, where like they did the whole radio broadcast that the aliens were invading the Earth, and everybody was like, oh no, God, what's happening?
You fucked up your sound again, man. You got to quit touching stuff.
What the heck?
You got to just sit there. Just sit there and talk. It's a podcast.
I know. I was looking up something about the name of a character, May.
All right. Well, I'm gonna disconnect you for a second. Reconnect, because every time you touch shit or search on Google, your audio goes out. Don't be an asshole. Don't be like Justin. When you're on a podcast, ladies and gentlemen, just sit there and listen and talk and respond and be engaged in the discussion. Don't be like Justin. Don't be like Justin.
I was researching.
All right, Justin, restart so that we don't get crackly voice, because I can't continue to hold carry the team here. All right. So Justin's going to rejoin us in just a second. But yeah, go see this movie, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. When Justin comes back, we'll talk a little bit about the old Planet of the Apes. We'll talk a little bit about Rise of the Planet of the Apes. And here comes the asshole again, Justin. So we're going to go to Justin.
So
Justin,
I was looking up whether the name May, like I was thinking it was in a part of King Kong, right? So like the main character, the main actress is actually Faye Ray. I was thinking May, but I was trying to see if there's any parallel there. I was doing work for the podcast. I wasn't just Googling and like looking at like naked ladies and stuff.
So, right? So here's what we're going to do. Do you have an iPad?
Yes.
Here. So when you're on the podcast from now on, uh-huh. The iPad sits next to you. And yeah, the iPad can control all of these things without having to mess with the computer, which is controlling the connection.
Good call. Good call.
Aren't you like a 20-year like podcast veteran here?
I usually do audio. I don't usually do video. Usually record it and I edit it. So this is live. I'm not used to live. Okay.
Well, good news, Justin. Because the video is fine. It's just the audio that was kind of shitty. All right. So I promised the audience while they were gone that we're going to talk a little bit about the old Planet of the Apes mm-hmm. movies, like the anthology. Where does this one rank of all the ones you've seen? And I don't want to dig too deep into like the old, like Beneath the Planet of the Apes. Like I've seen those for like once, like 10, 20 years ago. But we'll stick with like the original Planet of the Apes, the Wahlberg, and then the four new ones.
Right. So for me, all the four new ones rank ahead of all the other ones. Like even the original. The original is good for it, what it is. It's campy fun. There's a lot of callbacks to the newer ones to the old one. Bright Eyes is an ape in the Rise of the Planet of the Apes. It's also the name of the Charlton Heston character given by the apes. Nova, of course, is a character in the original Planet of the Apes. She's the mute human that's like basically tasked to be the mate of Bright Eyes, right? And then for me, the Charlton Heston character story arc is actually very similar to Caesar's, right? So they kind of flip flopped there. But for me, that's probably number five, like the Planet of the Apes original one. The Tim Burton one didn't exist. It's stricken from the record. not even gonna rank it because it's that bad. But for me, and for the newest saga, it goes for me. It goes Kingdom, Rise, and Dawn. Or no, sorry, Kingdom. This one, wait, yeah, Kingdom, this Rise, Kingdom. Dawn. Yeah, Kingdom, Rise, Dawn, and then War. Or no, Kingdom, War, Rise, Dawn. Yeah, there we go.
Kingdom, War, Rise, Dawn. Yeah, that's exactly how I would rank them too. I thought this was the best. Like, I like that it felt like a standalone movie. Like you said, it had some Western, like all these horses, they're on these horses and stuff. Mm-hmm. The one question I have is how did they get those boomsticks to work? Like the electric, like one of them was repaired by, you know, the main ape, the protagonist. But
Noah.
How did all of the rest of the apes, like how did they get, like how do you charge them? What's being used as the fuel? I don't understand how that works.
Well, they kind of hinted at Trevathan being the repairman for this stuff, right? And he is.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. He's kind of like the link to he's the missing link essentially.
That's
between
great.
Humans and eight. Yeah.
I didn't catch that, but now that you mentioned it, yeah, he said I do repairs, but he didn't specifically mention. Mm-hmm. I was thinking, oh, I fixed the toilets, you know.
Yeah. I mean, no, he's very important to Proximus as far as his kingdom goes, his aspiring kingdom.
Yeah.
Now, as far as the May character goes, I didn't trust her from the start. And honestly, watching these movies has given me a new perspective on human kind, and I don't like them.
Yeah, I'm over humans, man. I've had enough humans. Fuck the humans. So So this one, there were so many things that I dug about it. Like you mentioned, it felt like it could stand on its own. Like you don't have to see any of the other Planet of the Apes movies to enjoy this movie. Like it could take place on another planet. You know what I mean? It felt like that. I thought the emotions were really well done. Like when you're not dealing with human characters, it's tough to convey emotions. You have to really oversell the facial expressions and stuff like that. And I thought those were all really like the eyes. We used to be in this uncanny valley where nobody could mm-hmm. do eyes on animated characters. Like go back and watch that Tom Hanks Christmas movie, the Polar Express. It's creepy as shit.
Nightmare fuel.
Yeah. This, I mean, it was so unbelievably well done. The future is amazing. What's it going to be like, you know, if we live another, let's say, 30 years, right? We're in our 70s. What are movies going to be like? Are you going to literally be transported into, you know, Planet of the Apes? Are you going to be able to smell the apes? Like, I don't, like, how can we keep progressing? This is going to be ridiculous.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I don't know, like, how immersive people want to get. Like, I think back to that scene from War, where it's hilarious. They're all kind of in the cage, right? They're all in the prison, and one of them throws shit at,
yeah,
like the monkey flinging poo at the guard, right? And the guard's like, "Who did that?" And then they trick him and they drag him in the ground and kill him. But it's like, you know, I wouldn't want that in a smell-o-vision type of thing, right?
Yes, we can leave out the shit smells and smell, but you'd actually feel the feces hitting you. So full body haptic for feces throwing. Like, yes. How would you like to be the guy that calibrates the like, I got to get hit by real feces first just to know what it feels like. Come on, throw the shit. Let's go.
What they should have like a little like control for you. You can like control how much shit you get hit by. Like,
yeah.
Like a shit meter. Like, it's like, hey, I want more. Give me more.
All right. Your audio's starting to go again, so we're going to wrap this up. But I want to get your final ranking. Like, out of 10, what would you give this?
This is 10. 10.
10? 10 out of 10? I don't know if I'd go perfect 10, but I'd say 9 out of 10. Like, there's very few perfect 10s. To me, Jaws is a perfect 10. Jurassic Park is a perfect 10. Terminator 2, perfect 10. This is more like Terminator 1, like 9.2.
Yeah, I don't know, man, because for me, what really drove it to a 10, like, it was a 9 until I got to the final scene.
Oh, we don't want to give away the ending, but God. The way it was shot,
just
the
that
ending,
scene. That
it was amazing. It's an all-timer.
It tied everything together. So to me, that drove it to 10.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for watching. Go ahead and like and subscribe if you're new to the channel. You can find us usually with better audio than Justin's crackling ass on all the podcast platforms. We streamed on X today, so we got like 50 people watching, which is pretty good. But I hope you guys enjoyed this, and we'll see you next time.
The dudes would like to thank you for watching and remind you that if you've made it this far, you should probably just go ahead and subscribe. Let us know what movies, shows, or topics you'd like to hear the dudes discuss on a future podcast. We'll see you next time.